Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet, bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Sand stuff. The levels checked out.
You need mine too?
You're good.
Yeah. Am I good? How am I sounding?
Yeah,
it's real
good.
Bassy, so it's not as it's hard to mix in.
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
Matt, you got me?
That'll work. Yeah.
Where are we at?
Ooh.
Always talking quiet.
My voice is so distinct.
And then when you do raise your voice, it just goes.
I know.
It's so funny.
And when I do it, I try to like talk away, but
no, you're pretty good about it. But still, sometimes I'm like, just let it be. It's fine. Sounds real.
I've always been like insecure about how like deep my voice is.
Oh, really?
Apparently, it's sexy.
Yeah, it's like being insecure about having a giant dick.
Well, yeah, I'm that way too. But
yeah, I feel like my voice is way too high pitched sometimes.
Yeah, but I guess I'm like around like higher pitched voices all the time. So like when I hear mine, it's just like, oh, why does mine sound so stupid? You know?
Because it sounds different when you speak just in the world, and then you listen back to a podcast like this, and you're like, that's what I sound like?
Yeah. Well, I'm over it. I've gotten over it now, because I, you know, record all my sets, and then I listen back to them to study them.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird for a while.
You listen back to every single one?
Not everyone, because, you know, there's a lot of garbage that you throw into the world.
You know, you don't.
Yeah, getting used to the sound of your own voice is really bizarre, because you're used to hearing it, apparently, through your jawbone. And so then when you hear it like, from an outside audio source, then you're hearing it with those little follicles in your ear, whatever, in the eardrum.
Yeah, why does... I wonder, like... I don't know. I don't... We're all idiots. I don't know why I'm going to try to get into the science.
We always try to speculate. We always try to speculate. We got PhDs and everything.
I got ideas. Cobb has, like, well, there's this and that. I'm like, damn it!
Yeah.
We call ourselves a wealth of misinformation.
Getting into the minutia.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast, but this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. This is the podcast starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 231. What's up with your boy, the Ted Smith? That'll be host of this here podcast. Greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
To the left of me, somewhere down in Austin. Actually, he's to the right of me, and he's here in studio, unless he's not somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. Goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Russia, Brexit, and Matt's new cutoff dominating the headlines on Wall Street today. Shares the greatest podcast in a free fall this week as the dark cloud of smoke continues to plague Seattle, wreaking havoc on the boys' beach week and keeping the jet ski safely docked. Will Ted and Cobb meet babes in bikinis and suffer a another long winter in the Pacific Northwest. We'll have the full dating forecast at 5.
All right, back there on the Wheels of Steel, getting the studio set up. Actually, getting all the headphones. He's on it today. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
How you doing, dude?
I'm awesome. Man.
Two things. First of all, on this episode, we're, as we always do, tape Tuesday. But when you're listening to this Thursday morning, if you're like, hey, man, it's Thursday night. I want to go out and do something. Please go support all our friends and the Soldiers of Destiny at Big Hearts and Backpacks at the, what's it?
Pono Ranch.
So that's Thursday night. So today, when you're listening to this, generally a great party, man. I never miss it. And it's for a great cause, too. And that reminds me, I need to buy a backpack for these kids.
Yep. Five raffle tickets with the backpack. Tickets are going to be 15 at the door.
Yeah, and just in case people are listening later, it's August 23rd, 2018. But yeah, tickets are 15 at the door, or you can buy them online today probably. And then it's also in partnership with Seattle Secret Shows. So there will be a DJ and an artist. It's usually a good time raising backpacks for Safe Place up in Everett. So bring a backpack if you want to. Bring yourself. Come have some beers. Come have some drinks. It'll be a good time. And I even heard a rumor that the Ted Smith will be there.
I don't have my partner in crime, but it's a summer party I don't like to miss. Plus, we got Pain in the Grass on Saturday. I should also mention, if you don't have tickets to that,
KISW.com,
Ticketmaster, get there. So Thursday night, I plan on having a good time. Friday night, I'm going to retreat to my home. Saturday, I'll be back at Pain in the Grass.
Who's playing Pain in the Grass this year?
Saturday will be Alice in Chains, The Cult, right? Is it The Cult?
Yes.
Bush.
Stone Temple Pilots,
Bruiser Brody.
Walking Papers.
Saturday's a good show, man.
Yeah.
I'm pretty
stoked. Stone Temple Pilots are supposed to be awesome live.
Dude, and you know Miggs is playing with them.
That son of a bitch. Are you serious?
Yep,
I swear to God. Dude, that guy gets to do more cool shit than anybody I know.
Yeah. Well, all his cool stuff kind of hurt him a little bit over the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see his knee buckle?
No.
Oh. That's a brutal one.
It looked kind of bad.
Dude, he came in the next morning. I saw that Sunday night, and Kevin was here for Loud and Local, and he's a big wrestling guy. I was like, was that thing I just saw on Instagram from Miggs from tonight? He's like, yeah, he was wrestling tonight up in Marysville. It was crazy. And I was like, is he going to be here in the morning? And sure enough, he shows up walking in, like, no crutches or anything, just the biggest badass on the planet. Like, just, you know, like, it's a little sore, whatever, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and that's Steve, dude.
Just a trooper.
Soldier.
Fired
man.
Me up.
Telling you, Steve and Taryn, that's the word. I don't use that word for a lot of people. They are soldiers.
Just durable, huh?
Like, they show up to everything. I don't know how either of them, like, stay sane. I mean, Taryn has a little help with IPAs. But seriously, both of them go to so many events. And then the other thing, too, is I was like, if you need Taryn to come on stage and do something for you, she's going to kill it.
Yeah, she brings that energy.
If
for
you
sure.
need Miggs to come on stage to do something for you, like, he's going to kill
gonna
it.
Kill
dude, the
it.
Thing is, she brings that stage announcement energy even to, like, greeting you in the elevator. You know, she's like, oh, hey, what's up? Da-da-da. Like, God damn. She makes people feel important.
So, Miggs gets to play with Stone Temple Pilots. What did I say? Yeah, Saturday will be a fun day, man. I'm real excited to see Bush, man. I love that band. Well,
pro Bush.
In context and out of context. I'd be excited to see Andy Bush Saturday.
Yeah, I feel you.
All right. I think that's all the housekeeping out of the way. So this week we got a guest in with us, comedian Wilfert Padua.
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
Yeah. Oh, I wish that you had just played it off like you knew my last name.
Oh, I was very happy. Wilfert, in my defense, I MC Cage Sport MMA. And I can't, like, I have been in that cage before being like, don't forget the main event tonight, and screwed up the guy's name.
Oh,
somebody from the crowd yelled it and, like, corrected me.
Yeah, I f***ed up. Am I allowed to swear?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't go too crazy. Matt's got to edit it out. But, you know, you can f***ing throw some in.
Okay.
I don't care.
Okay, man, do what you want.
Yeah.
All right.
It's all bullshit.
Sometimes we have episodes like
it's
this.
Just the man and his corporate bullshit trying to keep us down.
Well,
it is. He's right, but some people actually.
What are
the
words
bleeps.
I can't say? Or
oh, we
bitch, or fuck, suckers, money.
Cool.
Should pretty much cover you.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I messed up a hosting thing. Sorry. Sorry.
Well, comedians.
It's my job. It's fun.
Sorry, we're rapid firing. Wilford just sitting in the middle.
Welcome to Thunderdome.
Well, all right. So I have told this story many a times to comedians that come in here. Do you know Pete Corielli?
I know the name.
So he lives in New York, where you're moving to, right?
Yeah.
You know, he's a high-level comedian. He just never, like, broke through on that huge level.
Yeah.
So I was, gosh, damn this microphone. What do you call that when you're just hosting, right?
Yeah, you're hosting.
Right, so I was doing like 5 minutes. And for Friday night, two shows, for Saturday night, two shows, I screwed up Corielli each time.
Really?
Yes. And I could say it perfectly now, and I've never screwed it up. This is 15 years ago. Yeah. But, like, he was really cool about it. But a lot of people at the club, this was in Baltimore, were like, dude, do not do that to the headliner. Like, you're Lucky Pete's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've usually I'll mess it up the first time, or and then the rest of them, I'll have, like, felt so bad that I'll have fixed it. But I don't know. I messed up a credit the other day and just, like, ruined I brought up the person and said their podcast, the wrong name of their podcast. And apparently everyone knew the podcast. And I was like, oh, well, God damn it. Like, what am I? The whole room was like, oh, it's called this. And I was like, all right, well, I got the, he was on Conan, right? So, like, I didn't mess that part up.
Wilfred, you'll be headlining this weekend at Laughs Comedy Club. Yep. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday.
Yep.
All right, cool.
Where are people getting? Tech.
What's that?
Is Laughs in Tacoma? Where's Laughs?
No, Laughs is in, like off of Roosevelt. It's on Roosevelt in like 52nd.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, the one
formerly Jiggles.
Formerly Giggles.
So formerly Giggles, Jiggles. Okay, and now it's Laughs.
Laughs.
Did anybody ever go there when it was Jiggles?
No, yeah, I actually won.
Yes,
you did.
You did.
Yeah. Well, but not when it was Giggles.
No, when it was Jiggles.
Yeah, yeah,
no,
yeah, we don't care about it.
Because wasn't their whole thing was like they served booze, but the strippers just danced in bikinis.
Dude, yeah. So one time what was that place up there? It's like, it's not Satan's. Sorry.
Dante's.
Dante's. Yeah, yes, Dante's. Dude. I don't know how you pulled that, but
because it's
excellent.
Right next door. I know. Yeah. How, come on, man.
Okay. So when I was like 19.
And Dante's Inferno is about
I was
hell.
A valet. Yeah. Yeah, and I would go, this one of the other valets that was older than me was in like a frat. I guess I was 18. And we went. And I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but it's possible that I went to an establishment up there, had a couple of beverages near to Jiggles, and then we ended up at Jiggles. And yeah, great time. Yeah.
I heard that they had pasties on.
Yeah, that was the whole thing, right? They wore pasties because they served boots.
Yeah.
And then some of them had like that, it's almost like a bikini, but it doesn't actually cover the breast. You know what I'm talking about? Like the triangle
the
around
little,
the. Yeah.
So I had heard about this place like most people didn't go because it's back to being a comedy club.
Yeah.
Well, good. Yeah, I mean, overall, like, that's good.
I don't know what's more lucrative, like sad strip club or a comedy club or a successful comedy club for that.
I feel like there's a thin line between people performing at a comedy club and people performing at the strip club.
They've been doing these like theme, these like gimmick shows where like it's like strip Joker or whatever, and it's just like I'm not gonna pull my dick out. And try to tell you a joke, like that's not gonna work.
That's what they do.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like apparently you make a good amount of money on it because you make stripper money on it because people throw money at you while you're on stage, but you're like
so
telling
you do
jokes
it at a strip club.
Yeah, I guess so. They do it in Portland. I think there's like a show in New York, or there was, and I'm just like, I don't want to.
So people tip if they like the joke, but if they don't, who decides if you got a strip?
The audience will pay you to like remove articles of clothing.
So does that like
so you're up there
pump
naming
up the self-esteem by getting like tipped, or does it like undermine your sense of self by like basically being
a
stripper?
I have no idea. Yeah, I feel like I just want to be funny, and please just pay me whatever you told me you're going to pay me to tell the jokes. I don't want to have to pull my take off my clothes for this. Also, like this is already embarrassing that I'm talking about this stuff in my life. You're also going to make me show my naked body.
It's like I'm basically naked up here anyway, emotionally. Yeah. Like, do we have to do the physical counterpart?
Yeah, part of the act is kind of me. Like for me, it's like me making fun of my body.
Yeah.
I don't need to show you it all to you. Like you get the gist.
Yeah. Just imagine a horrible looking penis. Like you don't have to see it too.
Not a lot of photogenic penises out there.
No. I actually had a girl ask me, she sent me a picture of her boobs, and I was like, I really hope I don't have to reply with my dick.
Yeah.
Like, that would be horrible.
Yeah, is anybody like sitting there like, oh man, I hope I get a picture of a dick that looks like every other dick?
That's like I think it's a certain type of person that like wants to send their penis out to the world.
Right there.
Are you
you're a roommate. Point at him.
Matt, you're a dick pick guy?
I
don't want to say the undisputed king of dick picks, but he's up there.
I had a pretty solid run in my single days. And
really?
You know, even in my new relationship days, but now we live together, so there's no point there.
What's the mentality behind that? Like, you love the look of it? Because I don't feel confident with how my dick looks.
I mean, I feel like
you're gonna have to edit
I've seen
so
it in
much
some
right
pretty
now.
Sad states.
Sorry, we've had a lot of penis talk the last 2 weeks.
All right, it's all right. Yeah, I'm used to this.
Talk, Ted. But,
Jesus.
Talk.
Yeah. So, but you've seen it in some of the sad, depressed, like post-river states, and then you can work some angles and some lighting and like make it look pretty presentable and like.
Yeah,
hopefully it's going to be well received by a girl, or at least she's going to pretend it is. You know, it's just kind of fun.
And you know she's forwarding that to her friends, though. At least the closest.
That's
three.
My issue. The last one I sent, right? Like, I know everybody at that certain shop has seen my penis now. But she was at work and was like, send me a picture of it. Yeah. So then, right, and her response was, why is it so shiny? I was like, well, I had to get it, you know.
Why is it so shiny?
I had to warm him up a little bit.
Like, what kind of comment back is that?
I don't know, but now that you said that,
it's the flash.
So are you guys just taking it from your angle?
Yeah.
Or do you do like a mirror shot?
No, I like would put it like by my belly button and then like kind of get a good, nice, there's some fun angles that really can boost your confidence.
Are you like laying down? Are you standing up? Like what's
usually
optimal?
Laying down.
You're laying down.
See, yeah. I was always standing
like,
up.
Laying down, like...
Do you guys do your own makeup?
On
or?
The belly button, but kind of pointed, like, angled up so that it just looks longer.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the flash will really, like, get the... God damn it. Just get the veins all...
Now, you should write an ebook. This is good stuff.
DPs by MCTP. About,
yeah, it's all about vasculature.
Yeah.
So, all right, so Wilford, obviously you didn't come here to talk about penis pictures.
I don't know, I'm fine with that. I'll leave if that's all that we need to talk about.
We're done.
So hopefully see everybody Thursday at Pono Ranch and Saturday at Pain in the Grass. So you've been doing comedy in Seattle for?
Ooh, since like 2013. I did it for 2 years in Chicago before that.
All right.
So yeah, since 2013.
Tougher market?
Here?
Here or Chicago?
I wasn't good in Chicago, so yeah, in Chicago it was tougher. I was just bad at comedy at that time, though, because I had just started.
All right.
But I don't like the Seattle market. Come out and see me, though.
Saturday.
Downtown Seattle, though, is just a tougher spot.
It's got to be.
Well, what I don't like about Seattle audiences is that they're just too sensitive.
Yeah, it seemed like they'd be cagey.
Yeah, like you want to say, like I don't want to talk about just boring stuff on stage. You know, like I don't want to be just like some dude who's talking about his cat or like, you know, like how Tinder, blah blah blah. No, I like, because I like talking about like race and like edgier stuff, things that are like deemed edgier. And If you can't tell from my voice, I'm not white, but I'm also Asian, and like that's not like, you know, people still don't give me a voice to like talk about race stuff here, just because I'm like I am Asian and I dress, you know, I don't look like I'm like I came from the hood.
So when you say it, like the crowd tightens up or what?
Yeah, for sure, it happens sometimes, but like I've gotten to the point now where it's like, you know, I want. You know, I've traveled around and I believe in my jokes and I know my jokes work. So I don't care anymore. Like if you're going to tighten up, that's on you. You're the one that responded incorrectly. Like the joke works and I said it perfectly. So, it should work, but that's you taking your weird baggage to the show.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing with race too. I think like we talk about it all the time on here. Well, not all the time, but we bring it up, but I think that everybody's so sensitive not to talk about it at all. It almost makes it worse, right? Because then all you're going to get is the two extremes we kind of have in the country now.
Yeah, you don't have if you're not going to talk about it, then you have no like nuance to the conversation. Like no one's going to figure out how to learn anything about it. And so like I don't know, it just with the way that, you know, there's nothing wrong with how like open-minded Seattle is trying to be. I guess the only thing that's wrong with it is that they won't realize how, like, how little they've progressed. You know, like
I feel like people don't acknowledge that there's actual differences that we. I mean, even just like on a physical level that we can all see. Like, you can tell if someone's Asian or white or black or Mexican or whatever. And we're like, everyone's all the same. And it's like, yeah, we should all be equal for sure. But like, we're kidding ourselves if we say like these two people are exactly the same.
Yeah, or that I grew up differently because I grew up Asian.
Yeah, you know? Totally.
Like, and I think that they're like comedy is supposed to like. For me, the idea of comedy is supposed to make, like, you make fun of something because it's a way of, like, dealing with that situation.
Yeah, it's a defense mechanism.
It's totally a defense mechanism. It's a way to, like, grow from that. Like, it's like, oh, okay, there is some humor in this sad situation. Therefore, I can just deal with it and process it this way. And that's how I process a lot of things is through comedy. So I process racism through that as well. So, like, I talk about that on stage, and a lot of people... like, you can't talk about that, but it's like, shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah, totally.
Why? I mean, I don't understand. Like, what do they get on you? They just don't think, like.
Like, I talk about, like, black white racism.
All right.
Like, and they get on. Like, it's just, it's not that they like, complain about it, because my jokes aren't racist. They just tighten up.
Have you had anyone leave?
You always have someone leave.
Really?
I mean, but it's just because of the shows are bad or whatever.
Okay.
I've had a couple times where people like have walked out.
No, they like said things. Anyone like heckle you about it? And
I've had hecklers like I'm bored, and I was like, well, it's like, but they'll say that, but like the show's going great, and I'm like, well, you're the fucking idiot that doesn't know how to enjoy himself.
Yeah. Like,
that's on you.
Yeah, I go to a lot of comedy shows. I know when it's a good one, this is one, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, what's his name? Not Pete Davidson.
Holmes?
Pete Holmes. Like, he has a whole bit about people that don't laugh. like, I'm a tough laugh. And he's just like, what is wrong with you? Like, why would you pride yourself on, like, I go to comedy shows, I don't laugh.
Yeah, I know how to not enjoy myself.
Yeah, like, it's kind of just like, I never thought about it until he said it. I was like, he's right, man. Those people are jackasses.
Yeah, dude, Macklemore talks about that one of his songs, too, like, about, like, people being at a show and, like, all the old cats jaded in the back, like, with their arms crossed, basically, and during the show. And it's like, dude, like, get out here and enjoy it, man. It's a rap show, you know, or a comedy show or whatever. It's like, people, especially in Seattle, I feel like, part of it's hipster, but part of it's just like sort of that anti, like they're anti whatever is popular, you know? And so it's just like, they're like too cool to have fun or too cool to laugh. It's like, dude, come on.
Metal crowds. I used to go to a lot more metal shows than I do. And there's a very common theme of like, dude, just standing there with their arms crossed watching it. And I'm like,
really?
Dude, yeah. And that's just not how I rock at shows. Like, I just am there to, like, be caught up in the music and, like, not, like, I'm certainly not paying attention to what people around me think of me other than if they think that I'm going to, like, hit them with I'm trying to be conscientious of the people around me so they can all enjoy themselves, too. But, like, I'm not like, oh, no, I'm going to be judged for having a great time up here in the front row. Like, I came out of my freaking house to come here and have a good time. I'm not going to stand here like I'm not having a good time.
Dude, I honestly, this week, I forgot to send it to you. I was watching a Vimeo of like some band, and you and Tyler were front rows in there rocking.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's awesome. I was like, Matt, like, god damn.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
When you're doing crowd work, do you ever worry about people being close to the stage?
What do you mean?
Like, again, I have a very limited experience in doing stand-up.
Yeah.
But one time I was kind of given, like, I don't know why. It was just I was out of jokes. So I just kind of was messing with this guy, but I realized he was so close to me. Like, I even said into the mic because I was nervous. Like, it's just a joke, man. And he goes, "Yeah, it's a comedy show."
Oh yeah.
So I'm just wondering. Like, you were talking about going into a crowd earlier. Is it's a little different, you know, because you're like right next to him.
Yeah, I've had a couple times where I thought a guy was going to try to fight me, but.
Do you try to de-escalate, or you just like, you know, dig in, or what? What's the move?
So this situation was one. I was high because I had to do
the dope show.
So I had to be high for it, and I was just like in the audience and just like fucking around with with everyone, and this one dude was like started yelling at me, and he's like, I don't recall. I mean, I was high, so I don't recall what actually happened exactly, but I remembered him like. Threatening me, and I was just like, hey man, you gotta chill out, I'm high. And then I walked away. I had a wireless mic, so I just like walked away to the other side of the room. But yeah, I like, I'm pretty good at not being mean to the audience.
All
like, so the crowd work is like you talk with them, and then you get something to work with, and you talk about you like poke fun at what they said.
All right.
But I never go in like, hey, look at your dumbass hat Like, I'm not that type of guy.
Yeah, you don't try to just wreck one person.
Yeah, yeah, I like a little spray. I wreck the whole front row. I love doing crowd work, and I do it like every show, just because it's like it's a way for me to show the audience that I'm a human being. Like, I'm not just a robot who tells jokes up there.
Yeah, yeah, I've always been impressed by people who can do the crowd work stuff. Like, that's why every comedy show I go to, I'm like terrified of going to the bathroom in case they just roast you. It's I sit no matter what. Like, I'm riding it out.
But all like crowd work, when it's uncomfortable, like it can. Wilfred and I used to be roommates. So we talk about all this stuff all the time. But like I've seen you perform before that, and it was very apparent that you're good at crowd work. But I've also been at some shows where it's just like they're out of material, they're panicking, waiting for the light, and trying to just start having a conversation with somebody who's not that impressed, and it just gets real uncomfortable real quick. But I would imagine,
I've been there. When you're running out, just like put that fucking light on.
when the light turns on and you're like, oh, thank God.
I think the only thing I could compare it to was like in like a sparring session, just like eating punches, and just in my head be like, where's the bell? Where's the bell?
Or it's like
you're just vulnerable. You got nothing going on.
Yeah, it's just like it's like going on like doing a workout, and you're just like, I can't. I don't think I'm gonna make it. I did a show the other day where
I hate these ropes.
I did a show the other day where the audience would never. They'd only laugh at like the last line of the joke.
And I was like,
dude, you guys know that there's so many funny lines that I like implemented in the middle of these jokes. You don't understand how tough it was to get to the end of that, pretending like you were there with me the whole time. Like, it felt like it was like, because it's emotionally exhausting too. Because you've got some, like, it's like they're constantly like punching you in the chest every time you don't get that laugh.
Yeah, totally. Because you're used to like some sort of cadence or something, probably, right?
Yeah, there's a back and forth. And so but it's also physically exhausting I have no idea why. I'm just up there talking, but I'm just like drained at the end of the joke.
Yeah.
And
the
joke's only 45 seconds.
Yeah. Dude, honestly, it's like one of those, like, there's sometimes when you have sex that's like that, where it's not like a give and take, and it's just like, are they enjoying this? Are they like totally? And then like it's only like at the end they're like, that was great. And you're like, really? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It seems like a similar experience. I don't know. I've never done comedy, but
I've never had sex. So. I just figured I'd agree.
Dude, I've told you I used to be the silent guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was a late bloomer. Have sex till, like, my mid 20s. Like, I didn't know.
But would you just lay there too?
No. I would switch positions. I just really wouldn't say much. And then finally, the girl I was dating.
But when
was
do
like,
you start? When do you learn to make noises? That's my question. Because here's the
second
thing,
girlfriend.
Also, what was that, like last year?
Only one that long ago.
Because the thing about like dudes is that we're jerking off like our entire lives in silently.
Yeah, secretly.
So
I didn't think about that.
So every orgasm I've had up until like I was 20 was completely quiet. Like, no one should know that this is
totally, like, you know? Just,
so I've trained myself to do this in complete silence, and then now I have to make yummy noises.
I never thought about that. Ted, were you the one telling me about the guy?
Damn,
who
it,
can,
Wilfred, that is who can, I mean, that is on point.
Beat off with no hands, was that you?
That is
what? Okay, the prison guy too.
Yeah,
tell
he
him,
did some time
about it real quick,
and he figured out a way to put it in between his thighs so that like when he was just sitting there talking to you, he could just go like this.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Ted was moving his leg
caterpillar or like a grasshopper.
yeah
I mean, hey, improvise, adapt, overcome.
I don't know how Ted did this, but he was like putting his feet around his dick and just jerking himself off with
all
his
that
feet.
Yoga.
That's like, the third girlfriend. Sorry, you just blew my mind. I'm like, you're right. And now I'm back on a ground floor apartment. So my bedroom is right by like the front entrance of my building.
Mm-hmm. It's literally like the window next to the front door.
Yeah. So like sometimes at night, if it's like midnight, maybe I'm watching a video, I have to like pause it and just be like, be still.
Yeah.
But like I can't go back to being like in my parents' house and not having volume on the porn.
Yeah. Throw on some headphones.
That's what I was going to say.
Jesus Christ.
I put them on my Bose speakers. I masturbate proudly. Send a message.
You turn it up loud enough, people just think it's the real thing.
I think the Wilbur just hit me with like straight like normal stuff. Like, thought about headphones. I'm in that place for almost 3 months. I did not think about putting on my headphones. I just kept pausing it. Yeah. So you're moving to New York?
Moving to New York.
Ted, I'm just picturing like a shot of you, you know, in like a TV show or something. And just the caption is just breathes heavily. It's like just quiet.
Well, it's like indistinct chatter because you hear someone in the background, like out your window, and then quick shuffle.
Yeah, I mean, if you're paying attention, it's obvious what the guy's doing in there.
Yeah.
All right, seriously, though, you are moving to New York.
I am moving to New York.
All right, so Cobb was saying this beforehand. Why New York over LA? I feel like those are the two major markets comedians like kind of have to go
yes.
to.
You know, I went to New York in April. Well, okay, here's the main reason is that my good buddy, my best friend, Andy Haynes, is living out in New York. And we've, like, always... He's established in both cities. He's living in New York now. And he's, like, always been, like, encouraging of me and wants me to come out to one of the two cities. We decided... We both went through, like, serious breakups at the same time. And we became, like, really close that way. And then we're like, well, let's become roommates sometime. And then when you decide to leave Seattle, and so he's in New York right now. So that's the main reason. But like, New York is just a better vibe. Stand-up is like there's so much to do out there. Like I was out there for 7 days in April, and I did 10 shows in those 7 days, and like all of the shows were good shows.
Nice.
Dang.
Where in LA you go there and then you do. Like, you're there for 7 days, you do maybe 3 shows. No one cares about who you are because you're not in the business. You don't have credits or you don't have any, like, you're not an important person to know in Hollywood. So no one cares. So, but in New York, they care about stand-up. Like, all the comics
100%
were watching my set. And, you know, they watched your set with their arms crossed for a little bit. And then you hit them with a couple, like, you got to front-load your sets. And so that the good jokes are at the top, and you hit them with the good jokes, and they go, oh, okay.
So it's kind of more merit-based, where LA is more, like, superficial?
To me, that was my experience.
LA.
Yeah. So that's why I chose New York. And also, I just always wanted to live in New York. I've got this, you know, romanticization of New York through, like, Woody Allen movies and everything.
Which borough are you going to be in?
I'm going to be in Brooklyn. Found a place in Bed-Stuy. Yeah. Love it. I'm into it.
That's funny, man. I just always think it's amazing that like people move to Bed-Stuy now. Like I grew up, I only knew it because of Biggie.
Yeah. Do the Right Thing. That was the other thing that happened in Bed-Stuy.
Do the Right Thing was in Bed-Stuy?
Yeah.
Rosie Perez, still one of my favorite people, one of the first nipples I ever saw.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when he's rubbing the ice cube over.
You know,
I like that movie a lot.
I actually was thinking about, I thought about that. Yeah, I recall those sex scenes vividly.
Right?
I was actually thinking about that the other day. Because I was just like, man, Rosie Perez is hot. It just popped up in my head.
Yes. Between also, that and White Man Can't Jump, like Rosie Perez had an important, like when I was 13, 14, Rosie Perez was prevalent.
Yeah, and her boobs are a lot, like they're like well concealed. Like they're a lot bigger when the shirt is off.
Yeah.
Surprisingly big. Yeah, I was actually thinking about the first movie boobs I've ever seen.
All right.
It was in one of the Cheech and Chong movies, and I don't remember which one, but he's like they're looking into like this like two-way mirror, you know.
All right,
like
like they use in like interrogations.
Yeah, but it's into a like ladies' locker room, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then I was like, I gotta go.
Yeah,
I gotta go be alone for a little bit.
Do you guys remember Ted? You'll probably remember this. Do you remember Sable?
The wrestler?
Oh, yeah, dude,
that's the first pair of shits I ever
Do you know
saw.
Who she's married to?
No, I have no idea.
She's married to Brock Lesnar.
Oh, nice, okay.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Brock Lesnar's a WWE guy that also fought the UFC for a while.
Yeah.
And he's coming back to the UFC.
Sable, oh, that Playboy that she was in?
I didn't even know she
Didn't she do one with Tori Wilson, too? It was both of them? I think that was two. There was one Playboy that I had where there was like two wrestling vixens in it together, and it was like, I had that one for a lot of years.
This is like some mud wrestling match or something.
Okay.
And just like having to be clicking through channels, saw it for like 2 seconds and seared into my brain.
Yeah. It's just crazy how back then, like even with the amount of porn I've watched since, there's stuff that I saw when I was 12, 13, 14 that is just burned into my brain.
Yeah.
It is just unforgettable.
Yeah.
So you're just Cheech and Chong, huh?
Yeah. You know, you never forget your first.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, I used to love Univision.
What was Univision?
Like the Spanish channel?
Oh, the Spanish channel, yeah.
They had a show called Control that was just like a dance party. And like, I didn't know the music, but the chicks were hot. And
yeah,
like,
I mean. You remember MTV Grind?
Oh, fuck. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Because it's all like sexy girls.
Yes.
I remember one time.
So, like, this was like the Spanish channel version of the Grind.
Yeah. Because if you don't remember MTV Grind, it's just like sexy people dancing to music, and it's just a camera moving through a dance party.
Yes,
it's like Soul Train, but there's no live performances
or black people.
Yeah, or black people. And I remember walking into a room and my dad was watching MTV Grind, and he like changed the channel immediately. I was like, "Oh, you're a pervert,
nice.
Sweet bro."
Nice.
That's awesome. All right, one more time. Wilfred Padua laughs this Friday and Saturday night, two shows a night, and then you just go get tickets there?
You can get tickets there. You can get tickets online, laughscomedyclub.com.
All right.
Yeah.
You want to hang out for a bit? We're just going to read some emails and do some other
stuff.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Cool. Hell awesome. Yeah.
Cobb?
You guys ready for some emails?
Let's do some emails.
All right. Hey, guys. I was thinking about the Maryland football discussion from the podcast this week and wanted to point out one frustrating angle. What were we talking about? Oh, the guy dying or something?
The kid died, yeah, and right. Then the university basically covered it up. And
that's right. Wait, has anything else happened with that real quick?
They're just all in suspension. Nobody has been fired yet.
They, as in like the dean coach. And the coach?
No, the president. Nothing's happened to the president, but basically the board. What do they call that? The Board of Regis or whatever.
I don't know.
They're kind of calling for
the
what
board
I
Board of Trustees.
Calling. Yeah, they're kind. Yeah. It sounds like they're calling for what I'm calling for, like a clean house.
Okay. I first wanted to acknowledge that I haven't read too far past the headlines, but if this were an employee-employer relationship, OSHA has specific requirements regarding outdoor heat exposure, including annual training on how to recognize and treat heat-related illnesses. Dominique, I can tell you from being in the NCAA that it is not employer-employee.
Nope.
They own every... I mean, the contract is like, honestly, probably close to 100 pages long, and they completely control your life. I understand what Cobb is saying about jumping to conclusions before an investigation, but going off headlines, this would be a willful violation and possibly warrant criminal charges if OSHA chose to establish that relationship by considering scholarships as payment for services. Also, Ted, you don't pay tax on them. Also, Ted, can I persuade you to be a gooey duck? We don't have a football team, but it's a pretty epic mascot, and I know you love mascots.
It is an epic mascot. I've seen that gooey duck.
One last, what is gooey duck like? Are you talking about?
What is it? Evergreen State College?
Could be. I'm not sure.
I think their mascot is the gooey duck.
Nice.
Or is Arlo White once?
That would actually make sense.
The mascot is the gooey duck.
One last thing to follow up on the dad question: have you or would you ever date a single mom? I've pretty much been single since my kid's dad passed away almost 9 years ago, and I really enjoy being single. But as my two girls get older and more independent, I may start thinking about kind of sort of dating again, and I'm interested to hear responses from guys my age. Of course, I'd definitely make time for a date with a certain cute KSW Afternoon radio host if you wanted to take me out. Smiley face. Love you all. XOXO. Dom.
Oh, wow.
Get a response.
Ted, your thoughts. God damn. You kind of caught me off guard there. I'm almost blushing. It's funny she brings that up. Today I was flipping through some pictures and I was like, look, I'm 37. So like the idea of being like, I can't date single moms is kind of out the window. But I won't lie, as somebody who doesn't have children, it is a little intimidating. I would just hate, like, I would have to make sure like we're going to actually like date for a while before I'd probably want to meet a kid.
I feel like the moms feel the same way.
Right, because I don't want to just show up for like a month and then be like, I'm not really feeling it. Which, if it's just me and a girl, that's fine. It's only a month in. Nobody really cares. But I don't want to make a bond with a small child and then just
peace
on them.
I'm totally with you.
As someone who's worked in like Seattle Public Schools for years,
all right.
I don't think that they care.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I legit think that like people are... Like, I've left schools very often. And I don't think... Kids don't... they have like that memory of you and they have like a little bit of connection, but I think that just like, you know, it's part of life where people leave, you know. I don't think that it making a bond with a kid is any different from making a bond with an adult.
All right. Have you watched, because I feel like when you leave, you don't get to see the aftermath, but being the schools, have you've probably also watched like other people leave and the kids are fine?
Yeah.
Okay.
They move on. I mean, there's always like a, like, oh, this teacher is not like this teacher, you know, like, oh, the last PE teacher used to let us do all this.
And right.
It's like, well, that's part of life. You got to learn how to adjust and move on.
Yeah.
Mr. Fair. Cabreros, permed mullet, my gym teacher.
Oh, Dick Messier. Dick Messier was the wrestling coach and the gym teacher at DeMatha for a long time. I'm in the friggin' gym.
Glad I got to tune into the River Penis edition of the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I told Taryn I'd leave her alone on the Showbox issue, so I'll tell you guys my thought on it as your resident volunteerist. I understand the appeal and attachment to it and can sympathize. This is about, for people who don't know, the Showbox, historic Showbox Theater, possibly getting torn down in Seattle, now getting moved into the Pike Place Historical District to preserve it, and the developers, rightly so, are pissed, but the city loves that place. I understand the appeal and attachment to it and can sympathize. What stands out to me is that everyone immediately reached for a government solution to stop a voluntary transaction, making it a state monument or something, rather than, say, making a GoFundMe page bidding more for it than the guys that bought the building. Not trying to be harsh, but if everyone says they love the Showbox, really did, I wouldn't have been up for sale in the first place. And if I recall correctly, even the council meeting for it didn't have much of a turnout. Cop topic? All right, guys, care to comment on that first?
that people didn't care about it, they didn't show up to the first meeting?
Yeah, I was at the meeting for the Pike Place Historic District, and there was literally three people there to comment. But that wasn't the city council meeting that they first had to move it to. So the one for the Pike Place is coming up tomorrow. Actually, so for people listening to this, yesterday.
I mean, look, I think I've pretty much made my thoughts clear on it. I love the Showbox. I'm glad it'll stick around. But I do find it funny that all the people in the city that are always like, progress, 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 when it came to something they liked, now we had to stop it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that's where I'm just stuck in this weird spot. Like, I love the Showbox. I'm pumped it's open. But I do find it funny that, because it was something everybody kind of liked, then we stopped it.
Yeah, double standard.
Yeah.
I mean, whenever I bring up affordable housing for people are like, oh, fuck off, man. It's progress. Blah, blah, blah. Make more money.
I saw someone tweet like, oh, if only people showed up for the Central District like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to care. I'm going to New York, baby.
Big Apple, son.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, with the Showbox, for me, I can see both sides. If I was a developer, I'd be pissed. Just as like a private citizen who has no dog in that fight, it'll be cool if they keep it because I get to keep going. But I totally, yeah. If they tore it down, like, I understand. You know, they want to put a 40-story building in. I mean, whoever bought that has taken a haircut of probably, you know, $30 million. So, cop topic. What can you learn in 30 minutes? And by the way, definitely the best venue in Seattle, in my opinion.
Oh, hands down.
What can you learn in 30 minutes? Ted covered cooking, but three words. Change your oil. That and take the stairs. Keep repping team. Oh, Jesus. Keep repping team blood dick, fellas. Bacon. And here's an article that I promised you before on plastic. Dude, we have been talking about dicks a lot. I forgot about our whole blood dick, meat dick thing.
Oh, man. You guys should have me as a co-host. I love this.
Commentary?
I've always hired grower versus shower.
Yeah.
And then he broke out the meat dick versus blood dick. But then my buddy Joe, we were sitting in a bar and he brings it up and then. Like, people were like, what are you two guys talking about? Like,
Jesus. What's meat dick versus blood dick?
Same thing. Are you a grower or a shower? So does the blood get, or are you just a meat one that's always hanging out?
I don't know. I'm long all the time. And even longer. Crazy long. It's crazy.
Right, there's your classic kielbasa footlong meat dick.
It's so big, I'm uncomfortable.
I'm uncomfortable now.
That's it for emails.
I like that, man. Quick and to the point. I mean, not that, right, you know what I'm saying. All right, Matt, help me out here.
Hey,
put on the light.
Before we get to what's Matt.
Hey,
what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out what's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Before we get to what's Mattening,
Hey,
what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa.
Check out with what's maddening.
Well, I had a fun weekend. I went out to Ohio for a wedding. My girlfriend's best friend was getting married out there. They came and visited us on a road trip over the winter. We took them out to Leavenworth, and they're super, super dope. So it was fun to go see them. Obviously, we flew to Ohio because we know the bride and groom, and that's it. So
yeah.
It was kind of us hanging out at the wedding most of the time. We socialized with a few people, but I guess Ohio's got some weird liquor laws, so they bolted to go get hard alcohol or, you know, before the stores closed or whatever. It's a small town, like rural Ohio, which was
most nice. Of Ohio.
Yeah, it was peaceful, man. There was not a lot going on, but everybody was really friendly, and it just seemed kind of chill. Like, definitely compared to the hustle and bustle of living in downtown Seattle or Ballard, like, whoa, it was a huge change of pace just driving out there for a day. Like, it was insane, but it was really cool. We got to when we were driving from Cleveland out to Canton, where we were staying, we drove by the Pro Football Hall of Fame, of course.
Yeah,
it was a huge lightning storm. Like, the whole sky lighting up, freaking like gumdrop size rain coming down, and just you could see the bolts like individually, and we were like less than a mile from the lightning. Like, it was so unreal.
Yeah, the thunderstorms back east are no joke.
It was so cool.
I miss those Midwestern thunderstorms.
It was so
beautiful. Yeah, as I say, Chicago's the same.
It was so goddamn cool. And we were like driving, and my girlfriend, God bless her, she was the one driving. Because she rented the car, so she's driving, and it's this like torrential downpour, and the sky's just lighting up, and I'm like trying to stay awake. So we hit Sheetz, got some coffee. Oh, Sheetz is the best. We went there twice because so it was like raining and we wanted like some hot drinks and I wanted a little bit of caffeine to stay up for the rest of the drive and stuff. And the hot drinks thing was broken, so I got a cold one instead, which was fine. And then I got a voucher for another free drink, so we had to go back the next day, of course. But Sheetz is just awesome. Sheetz
is a gas station, but where I grew up, it's like a constant argument. It's like Sheetz or Wawa.
Yep.
And they both are gas stations that sell sandwiches. I'm a Sheetz man. I like the MTOs.
MTOs. Royal Farms had them out in Baltimore.
Right? Rofo.
I never made it to Sheetz out when I was living in Baltimore, but everyone would talk about it because I'd talk about how awesome Royal Farms was. And they're like, oh, you got to try Sheetz. It's even better. And too much time went by between when I had Royal Farms and when I had Sheetz. So tough to say, but they're both awesome. And I just had a great time. There was fireflies out there. So it was
lightning bugs. I always feel bad for people in the West, like in Seattle. Like, you've never seen a lightning bug?
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, when I went to Chicago for the first time, had no idea that like these things that happen in movies are real.
Yeah,
when I was a kid, we used to. And I mean, I grew up in PG County, but I mean, there was lightning bugs everywhere, and you just put them in a cup and then try to poke.
Yeah, they're mind blowing when you see them not growing up around them. I mean, I'm with you. I didn't see them probably until I was like 12 or so in Virginia. And Sam is just like, what? Like, I can't believe these things are real.
Yeah.
But they're only in movies.
I think it was my girlfriend's first time seeing them. So she was, it was cool. And the lightning and that reminded me of the summer I spent in New Hampshire, where I got to experience that stuff for the first time. And it was just super cool. That was also the first summer I saw some real life boobs, which in hindsight, I probably didn't need to bring up to my girlfriend. But, you know, live and learn. Yeah. She's cool. But, so the wedding was great.
Like you said, this is where I got the best of my life.
Yeah.
You
know, true. And nothing will compare.
Very true.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, don't even try.
Don't even touch me.
Yeah, so there's some perspective for you, babe. I know she listens. Could have been way worse. So
count your blessings.
Yeah. Stay a pie for your pick.
So the other two things I got to see were Cleveland, downtown Cleveland, which was, I had low expectations, and it exceeded them.
It's cute.
It wasn't particularly bad. Where we were was like right downtown, so you know, like there's a lot of homeless people asking for change, but it's like if we spent all day walking around Pioneer Square, it'd probably be the same story. You know, so I think it was just where we were, right in central downtown. But we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which was super cool. They had a lot of awesome memorabilia and exhibits and just, like, educational information on the plaques. And obviously, with my life path, there's a lot of interesting stuff. Some that I knew, some where it was just cool to see the stuff, learned a lot of stuff. Was reminded, because Alan Freed was the guy that came up with the term rock and roll. And he was a radio DJ in the, like, 50s that really was at the forefront of all this stuff and ended up doing movies and TV shows and all this stuff and started out doing overnight radio and, like, in Akron and then in Cleveland and then in New York or something like that. And so, yeah, it was really cool to just, like, reflect on what he was able to accomplish with this similar career path. And, like, obviously the medium's changed and the whole multimedia and everything, but, like, it was really inspiring and cool and then just a lot of fun to see all the memorabilia and, you know, be reminded of the history of what rock and roll, you know, what's become of rock and roll, which is a huge part of my life. So had a great time with that. And then we were wandering around and walking down this cool little alley street thing with like some cool bars and restaurants and a bowling alley that was really like, you know, new and trendy, almost like a Lucky Strike type thing. And then I saw Jim Norton's face on a marquee. And it was a comedy club, Hilarities, and he was actually going to be there that night. And I love Jim Norton. It's my girlfriend's first time seeing him. She loved him.
Nice.
So it was a ton of fun to get
to. Do you know who opened?
Kelsey Cook.
Oh, Kelsey.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
she's
great.
Kelsey's a Seattle alum.
She is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, she's probably one of the more successful comedians that came out of the city.
Oh, cool. Yeah, she was really, really good. And she was headlining the two nights before, and I know she's been opening for Jim for a while.
Yeah.
And so I had heard good things about her from Jim and seen her on his Instagram stories and stuff, and she seemed funny and cool. And then, yeah, she crushed it, and it was a really good crowd, really good turnout. It was a lot of fun, and Jim was really, like, you know, riffing with the crowd and just doing random stuff about, like, the day and his you know. And so it's always fun when it's not, like you were talking about, you do crowd work. It's fun when it's not, it doesn't feel like a super rehearsed routine. And guys can do that really well. But that's okay. I prefer that more if I'm going to see Bill Burr at the Paramount or whatever. And he still riffed a lot when I did that. But in a club, I like that feeling of this is just happening.
Yeah, this is the show. This isn't like I'm a real person and this is how we're connecting in real time.
Yeah.
Like it's the whole reason like improv is fun is because like for the audience, not for me. Oh God, I hate improv. But
see, I'm the opposite.
What?
Like, because I feel like on the radio, like I'm kind of doing improv like every day. So like, for me, it's hard to like write, like sit down and write jokes and then go come up with 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, and I prefer improv too. Like that's why I like crowd work so much more because it's just so much fun to like, you know, we're charismatic people that where we can just like I can think of something in the spot. Like
right,
I can be funny in the moment. And so I'd rather do that because it proves that I'm funny, not that these jokes are funny. Like, I'm the one that's in charge of this room and, like, and carrying it. I don't know. It's just always – and plus, it's a unique experience.
Right.
You know, it makes it special.
Yeah, and he was – yeah, so it was definitely, like, he was talking about Cleveland, and that's an easy city to bash, and he did
they call it the mistake by the lake.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's one of its nicknames.
Yeah, and the river was on fire like 3 different times.
Yeah.
Yeah, this city's for real.
How did that happen?
The whole river caught on fire. It was like all this industrial waste from, I forgot what they were refining there. But yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say this. Like, so we were there on a Friday night with a Indians game going, which a guy.
Go Tribe.
A guy sitting next to us. Said like, oh, I forgot the Tribe was playing down here, and I was like, oh, cool, I'm in Cleveland. He called it the Tribe. Like, I thought that was just a Sports Center thing. But there's a Tribe game going on and a Browns game going on, which they're not right next to each other. But so about as hopping as Cleveland's gonna get, and it still felt like, oh, like short of a Wednesday night in July in Ballard or most neighborhoods in Seattle.
Oh, really?
So it was just kind of. Kind of had a ghost town vibe, especially during the day. We were walking through these, there's like 3 different malls downtown, and it's just, they were big, and there was shops, but there wasn't a lot of people there. And it just, but, you know, the people that we met were really nice and friendly, and, you know, I'm running my mouth and talking about how I'm not from there, and they're like, oh, welcome to Cleveland. Yeah, it's the first time here. I'm having a great time. And there's just a lot of, like, friendly interactions. you know, it definitely, when we got out into the rural stuff and everyone was being super nice, I was like, well, helps being white, probably. This is definitely Trump country out here. And so, but
I mean, right? What do I always say about the South? South is great. I'm a straight white male.
Right. Yeah. So it's tough to say the full experience, but my experience, everyone was very friendly. And I don't want to like misrepresent anything. I didn't see any, you know, anything, but it's just like, hey,
you're just there for a weekend for a wedding.
And I had a great time. Like I said, going to Cleveland and its suburbs doesn't sound like an exciting way to spend an August weekend when you live in Seattle. Just so happened, it was smoky as hell here, and I had a great time out there. Jim Norton was in town. The stars aligned. We flew through O'Hare, so I got to go through the underground light-up tunnel where Puff Daddy was in the I'll Be Missing You video, and like through the terminals where Kevin McAllister was running, and it was just like, this place is awesome! Like, is that just those two things alone, like, as fun of a layover as you can have, and so...
You should fly Southwest sometime and go through Midway. Have you flown through there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a different experience.
Yeah. It's,
really?
I don't like either airport.
I don't, right. O'Hare is so massive.
I like Midway a little bit more because it's in the city. Like, O'Hare is so far out there.
Yeah, see, like, Midway, like, dude, literally, like, you're flying and then the plane just drops because it's just homes, home, homes, airport, homes, homes, homes.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But I think Southwest is the only one that still flies in there, right?
No, there's the other
ones. Is there other ones?
I don't recall what I think I flew Southwest into Midway last time, but.
Yeah, it was, you know. Yeah,
Puff Daddy's not, Diddy wasn't filming videos at Midway is my point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that moving sidewalk's fun, and yeah, it was super cool. Although, when we flew back, O'Hare was a lot more crowded, and that was like, whoa, this is a huge international airport. When we, like, were flying there, I think we were going through O'Hare, like, 4:50 in the morning at their time or whatever, so it was a little more chill. Mm-hmm. And when it was all hustle and bustle, it was like, ooh, this is a stressful airport.
Yeah, some of the scarier connections I've ever made are at O'Hare. Like, literally sprinting. And
that
place is so massive, and there's so many people in it. Like, Jesus.
We had some flight delays. I don't want to name our airline, because this is, like, out on corporate places with sponsors or whatever. But, yeah, it was like, are you kidding me? I'll say this. It was in Alaska. I was really grateful to live in Seattle and fly mostly Alaska when I go places, because that airline is just, you don't know what you got until it's gone. I think we had four delays on.
Well, you're fine. Don't say it.
So, that was it. Congratulations, right. Keith and Avery.
All right, nice. Well, I guess it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cob topic.
Cob topic.
Dude, strangely enough, I had a flight last Wednesday that I didn't take, and I believe it was the same airline, and it got bumped four times. And they just kept sending me like, text messages and emails. I'm like, look, I'm not going to be on this thing anyway. Just take me off your list. So this one I didn't really have a backstory for. I kind of was just like, I don't know, I was just thinking about like just general stuff that's been on my mind. Yeah. we've all heard of like, you know, shooting yourself in the foot and whatnot. The question, the cop topic this week is, how are you contributing to your own suffering?
Damn.
Yeah, man. It's a little bit of a downer one, but I don't know. It's just like, it's always interesting when people, when they're forced to reflect a little bit on like, if they're feeling like, you know, like life's good or life's bad or whatever, but just like the things that they are doing to push that one way or another, rather than the things that, you know, are happening to them. And so, yeah, it was just an interesting one I was thinking about. So what are your guys' thoughts? Oh, also feel free to email us. I'm curious to hear. Email us at thepodcast.com.
How am I contributing to my own suffering?
Yeah, and it could be something small or something big or whatever, you know?
Well, a big thing for me is just like the little time wasters that I have throughout my day, which I don't spend a ton of time wasted, right? I'm usually working or on my way to or from work or working out myself, but or spending quality time with the awesome people in my life. That accounts for like 90% of my time. But that other 10%, you know, like some of that's spent unnecessarily on social media. And it's like, I haven't called my grandpa in 4 weeks, or I called him last week. But, you know, like before that, it had been a while, or like, oh, I haven't talked to my mom, or I haven't done this or that. There's so much work to be done. There's so many people to keep in touch with. And I just will like get sucked into Instagram and Facebook. And that's normal, but boy, do I contribute to my own suffering by beating the hell out of myself for it.
Oh, you're saying, like, yeah, like pursuing like fake connections rather than real connections?
Right, and it's just falling victim to the dopamine trap that these social media networks have engineered, and it's understandable. It's not, you know, I spend most of my time very productively, I would say. But instead, I'll focus on, you know, the 20 minutes I spent checking Facebook or Instagram that morning when, like I said, I haven't called my grandpa, or I needed to work on this thing for one of my other, you know, projects and ventures that I'm trying to work on. So, yeah, just, again, it's not that I spend a little bit of time on social media. It's how hard I am on myself about it.
Gotcha. So. Wolford?
I think...
God damn it. Hang on, dude. Something happens with that mic.
With this mic?
Yeah. I can hear it.
That's not fixed.
Yeah, there it goes. You can use this one if you want.
No, talking to it again.
Is this better?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
It's so weird.
I think it was when I moved it. I was trying to make it so that you guys could lock eyes. you know, I was trying to make
it love that.
A sexier setting for us all.
Well, you are here.
Well, yeah.
Giant
and my pants are unzipping slowly.
me dick in the building.
Long life. I think a lot of it, I think for me, it's the same thing where if I'm not being productive, like I've got current, you know, I'm moving to New York. I've got a lot of things on my plate right now. And so like the way that I'm contributing to my own suffering is by not doing anything, like putting all the little things on hold. Like I got to go to U-Haul and get some boxes and like just small things like that. And I know that I could just knock it out of the way and just like move on and like relax in the evening. But it's like constantly like stressing me out because I haven't done it yet. This little thing.
Yep.
Yeah. Like the procrastination so makes you more anxious. I'm totally the same way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've gotten a lot better. I used to like before Matt and I lived together, I was like, you know, such a bummer of a person. And it's just like, a lot of it was just me choosing to be a bummer of a person. But like, I've gotten a lot better just being like, you know what, this is fine. Like, I'm a dumbass and I didn't do this thing. And that's fine. That's totally fine for me to be stupid this way.
Yeah, dude, I'm totally with you. It's not like what I always try to remember. It's like, it's not where you live physically, but where you live like emotionally and like where you live on the inside that like really affects your reality and how you're feeling and how your life is.
Yeah. I do hate where I live physically.
yeah. Seattle on the rain.
Yeah. I'm not talking about my apartment. I think I don't like Seattle. I just don't jive with it. But I can exist normally here and not be a depressive person.
Yeah. The winters get me in Seattle, man. I get super depressed around like February, March.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's the people that get me.
I mean, look, I agree with that. Procrastination is a bad habit, but generally I get things done. For me, the one I've realized recently is sometimes when I go to an event or something, or whether it's friends or work or this and that, I'll already have an idea of my head of what could go wrong or what could be wrong with. And I feel like when I go to the event or the party, like I'm like, it's almost like I've predetermined that if this happens or I run into this person, it's going to be a bad experience.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Because I went into it with a negative, like, oh man, like that chick always annoys me, blah, blah, blah. Well, then she doesn't really have a fair shot when I see her at the party because I've already decided that this interaction is going to suck.
Yeah.
So I'm trying, I don't know when I started doing it. So I'm trying to back off that and be better and be a little more open minded.
Open minded, like, yeah.
Maybe the last 10 times I saw them, they just suck then.
It's a noticeable pattern.
Well, and some it is, again. But some people can, you know, I mean, look, I was not the most awesome person for years, but you know, I meet people now and they're like, oh man, like I can't believe that. Like so people change. So
yeah, I mean, your story about Beach Week was shocking. Like you guys treating, what's his name? Just like,
oh, what we did to Weave.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So like that blows my mind knowing you now and having not known you then, you know? So yeah, people do change, but.
Yeah, so I'm just trying to be better about that. Like, you know, I'll just take it, you know, each one as they come.
Yeah.
Gregor, I'll give him credit, but he got it from someone else. He probably got it from somewhere else. But asking the question, what's the best that could happen going into situations? Like consciously asking that because subconsciously, a lot of times we just predict the worst that can happen.
Oh, I always think that always sets me up for disappointment. Like I'll get disappointed if the best outcome doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So I've started to just be like, who cares what happens? It's
I like that
whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
And to appreciate when something does go your way. sometimes, like, if a bunch of stuff goes our way and then one thing doesn't, we focus on the one thing that didn't, rather than just being like, man, you know what? Like, a lot of dominoes fell my direction this week.
Yeah, why do we?
This happened to me today. I got an email about opening for, like, a big headliner in Seattle in October, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm not living here anymore, and it took you this long to finally get in contact with me? And then I was like, oh, but that's nice that they reached out and they think that I'm good now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, one, you were the one they selected, and two, like, you could always fly back, too, if you wanted to.
Yeah, I don't have that type of money. and they aren't paying me enough, so, yeah.
Fair enough.
All right. Again, Thursday evening, if you want to come out and support Big Hearts and Backpacks.
Tonight.
Tonight. Yeah, Thursday evening. My bad. It's tonight. What's that start at, like, 6:30, 7?
It starts at 6:30. Usually it doesn't get popped until about 8, though, so, you know, take your time.
Pono Ranch in Ballard.
Right next to the Ballard Bridge.
Yeah, great little venue.
I'll be there a little after 8.
Cool.
Saturday, of course, we got Pain in the Grass. Hopefully we'll see you guys down there. Matt, you'll be there.
Yes.
All right. Cobb will not. And then...
Whoa. You don't know my schedule, man.
Are you going?
I don't know, man. If you got a ticket, I'd consider it. I'm a coin toss.
I thought you were uninvited just now.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I know. Pretty sure I just got curved by Ted.
That's all right. I'm writing a new book, 50 Grays of Shade. I got to mention our guest tonight was Wilfert Padua. Laughs Saturday night, Friday and Saturday night, two shows a night. Go out there and support them. Wilfert, also, great to have you on, man.
Thanks for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
All right, cool.
Yeah, it's nice to finally get you in here.
I wish my podcast was this fun.
You're on Twitter and Instagram, right?
Oh, good call, Matt.
He's moving to New York, so you got to keep up with him online, and then you can say you knew him before he made it.
Yeah, you be a day one. Don't be a bandwagon, because, man, I'm going to be famous.
You'll take bandwagoners when you get to that level.
Yeah. I'll take any fans, please.
Is it fair to say at this point, and I don't want to be too hip, but because you're here, you're going to New York, that this podcast now has BDE.
Has it what?
Big Dick Energy.
We got that BDE, baby.
We got that BDE now.
Well, you just have a huge slong in the building.
All right, there you go, folks. There's episode 231 for MCTP, for Cobb, me, Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved. Home protected. Bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
FanDuel's getting you ready for the NFL season with an offer you won't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. That's right, pick a bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride the live lines, whatever your style, FanDuel has you covered. The NFL season's almost here. The only question is, are you ready to play? Visit FanDuel.com/sportsfan to download the FanDuel app today and get started.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.